This is Pat Tomlinson. I'm talking with Greg Vincent, Ag Spectrum District Sales Manager. In addition to the district manager role, Greg's also involved in helping shape the marketing efforts of the company. He and his family live near Kansas City in Smithville, Missouri. His district covers Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska. Greg assumed the district sales manager role in 2011, so he's been helping bring the maximum farming system to growers for over 12 years now, and in that time, I'm sure he's learned a lot about the challenges and best practices of working with growers. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk today, Greg. How are things going?
Things are going well. We're well into harvest. It seems like summer's trying to hang on a little bit longer than what we like, but it looks like that's going to change here in the next week, and things are going to cool off and start to feel a little bit more like harvest season. But so far, yields are coming back, I think, better than people expected, kind of across the district that I work in. Here's some really good results coming in, so excited to see how that all pans out once they get them across the scales.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's a lot more fun to hear the good yield reports than it is to hear the ones that go in the other direction.
Yep.
Well, Greg, what I wanted to talk with you about today is nitrogen management in the maximum farming system. We've talked about phosphorus and potassium recently with Trevin Sears and Eric Larson and reviewed how the crop's requirement for each of those fit into the design of the MFS, and I'm hoping to complete our review of the big three macronutrients with our discussion. Nitrogen gets a lot of attention in corn production discussions, and it's kind of unique in several ways from other nutrients. While a healthy soil provides some nitrogen for corn crops' use through mineralization, we know that with today's yield goals, it's really a necessary crop input for corn every year that it's grown. It's not built up in the soil like the other two. That tends to change our thought processes on end somewhat. That required input expense creates a metric that we don't really think about with other nutrients, NUE, nitrogen use efficiency, or the ratio of pounds of N applied to the yield per acre achieved. We don't calculate or talk about phosphorus or potassium use efficiency. We just say that if you had a yield of X bushels per acre, then you used a set amount of P and K for each of those bushels produced. We approach nitrogen differently. So that's a long lead in, and maybe this is a good place for me to stop and put the question to you. How do we think about efficiency in N use in the maximum farming system?
The first thing, let me just address the nitrogen use efficiency, which is a huge thing for us, obviously, Pat, that we try to take a look at, and we kind of shoot for that 0.75 to 0.85 range for the use efficiency, and that really kind of runs counter to the conventional approach, which is just throw a pound out there for every bushel of yield goal. We try to look at that a little bit differently and just how we address nitrogen with the system, with split applications, looking at the form, and then tying that to the hybrid management or what's really going to drive us there and get us to that use efficiency. Most people are thinking that if it's 200 bushel yield goal that we have, then we're going to throw 200 pounds of ammonia out there and we call it good.
So beyond the NUE, what do you think are the two or three most important things for growers to understand about nitrogen use in corn production?
The first point that I really want to make sure that people understand is that the pound of nitrogen isn't a pound of nitrogen, that there is a difference between the nitrate nitrogen and the ammonia form of nitrogen, and how you need to address that with the timing is critical there. The second point that is very much related to that, that is how nitrogen cycles in the soil. What becomes naturally available to the plant is going to be dependent on really what the time of year is, because it's largely driven by, obviously, moisture and microbial activity, but it's really driven by soil temperature, and that nitrate nitrogen is going to release and be more available to the plant early on in the season, which is when we want the early nitrogen product to be a nitrate nitrogen form, because that's going to speed cell division, which is going to help us set our ear length and also build the plant architecture to get us through rapid growth. That sets us up for the reproductive stage, which is really the critical point of paying off what we've done early on, and that's when the plants need shift to the ammonia form. So we want to make sure that we have ammonia form available to the plant later on around the tassel time or just pre-primordia, and when that ear does set, that's when we want the cell elongation to take place, and that's a process that's driven by ammonia form of nitrogen. It's really the timing of those and the form, and then the placement becomes critical there of where do we put put that early nitrate nitrogen, because that's why we do push for the planter applied nitrogen, to make sure that those young plants have the root system that can get to the nitrate nitrogen, but also making sure that it's not too close. We do start with the clean start in furrow with kickoff and growzyme to start that root growth, and that's when the plants needs are phosphorus, and then it does relay off about the V5 stage to a nitrogen need for the plant. That's what's going to establish our yield potential with the nitrate nitrogen. That's why we put it there early on.
So you're establishing yield potential through maximizing the kernel count potential with the nitrate form of N applied at planting and needed by the plant at about the V5 stage. Can you talk more about the second application of nitrogen to supply the rest of the plant's needs?
The payoff really comes at the ammonia form when it's needed at the reproductive stage. That's going to drive the cell elongation then at that point, and that's what's really going to drive us through to help us increase test weight, get those ears filled to the tip.
You've given us a good summary on the importance of the form of nitrogen at different stages of the corn plant's development. It wants the nitrate form early to drive vegetative growth, and then the ammonia form is preferred later for the reproductive stages. That brings to mind the 5 R's approach we talk about, and it seems to incorporate the form, the timing, and, with the planter application, placement into our MFS recommendations.
We look at the 5 R's. That's really what drives everything that we do, is the 5 R's. So placement is critical, and the placement during planting is a key point. We want to make sure that the placement is close enough to where the plants can get to it when they need it, and that's approaching that V5 stage. Then at the same time, we need to be concerned about seed safety. So that's why our ranges that we give on those maximum farming recommendations that you get through dealer tools after you do STMZ properly gives you the rate that you need to put in that band at a 4 to 6 inch range, because that rate then should be safe enough, depending on your soil types and soil conditions and textures, of how much nitrogen you can put in there. Because if you get too much too close to the plant too early, you run the risk of seedling damage. That's why that is so critical to look at those recommendations that we provide. It's going to give us enough that we are able to maximize ear length. That's really what we're after from the placement side. And then the form is what's driving the nitrate nitrogen use. That's kind of covers what we need to do there on the early side of the nitrate nitrogen. Then the logistical challenges come in for farmers who aren't used to doing this, and this is where the dealers really need to step up, and we've got the corporate support through the implementation specialist with Delk, also your management team, to help farmers think through the logistical issues of how are they going to get that nitrogen out there in the field when they're wanting to plant and keep moving. That's usually a first step that we run into.
Yeah, although it may be changing slightly in recent years as others have seen the benefits of planter application of nitrogen that AgSpectrum recognized many years ago, and we will occasionally run into a prospect who is already set up to apply N with the planter, it still remains pretty consistent across the country that most farmers are less than enthusiastic about changing their practices at planting and banding N with the planter because of the extra logistical and management requirements. Their initial focus is on those issues instead of the main goal, the payoff in performance that it brings. But also, they don't consider the added efficiency of eliminating passes devoted solely to N application, as well as the opportunities banding provides to better manage other nutrients by optimizing placement and timing.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We are going to recommend sulfur typically with the band. Particularly over the last couple of years, we're recommending more potassium in the band. KTS is a good option for farmers. Sometimes dealers need to take the lead in helping their customers find another supplier in the area that can provide that nitrogen mixed with sulfur and potassium in many cases to be able to do that efficiency. So you're right on the need for other nutrients.
Can you talk a little more about the second nitrogen application in the MFS, where we prefer the ammonia form and we usually think first about side dressing ammonia as the default recommendation?
Yeah, and this is where we run into a lot of strange looks from farmers when we're saying, our preference is to have you apply ammonia form of nitrogen in a side dress application, and particularly where we work here in Missouri and we've got a lot of hills and terraces, farmers look at us like we're crazy when we say that. But it is a plant requirement that it does need ammonia form late. So this is where we need to look at what are we providing from an organic matter standpoint through the soils, because that's going to be an ammonia form that we place. And and how do we become the most efficient with that, and what's the best way to apply it? And the best way to apply it is to provide that ammonia form in a true side dress about the V6 to V8 stage. V8 would be the ideal time to apply that ammonia form on a side dress. But this is where we really have to step up as dealers and help farmers think through, can you do it? Can you accomplish it? If it is not possible, because believe me, I can step out my back door here and I can look at fields where it isn't possible to do a true ammonia side dress. We have to help them think through what are the ways that they can provide that to the plant and really provide the need of the nutrients at the time, because it's about basic science and providing those nutrients. If you've got the ability to irrigate, maybe urea is a good option at that point, because you do need to make sure that that does have water and you get it watered in right away, or if you can chase ahead of a rainstorm. But that's where the expertise on the implementation does come in, and we need to help them think through that. And then we have to be able to hold them accountable. We're trying to give you the best options for how you can maximize your efficiency, and the best way to do that is to provide the ammonia form at the right time near the reproductive stage. And here's your risks based on what you're looking at doing, or here's your best options based on what you want to do.
I think that what we keep coming back to is something that's really reflected in Ag Spectrum's underlying approach in almost all our outreach to growers, and that is being a source of information and education. The best way to, quote, convince a grower to follow the MFS is to teach him why it's put together the way it is. Once they understand the basic science that is foundational in our approach and what it means for a grower's productivity and efficiency, they'll either be motivated to put in the extra effort, or they'll just decide that what they're doing is good enough. Obviously, the ones who are motivated and excited about the possibility for improvement are the ones we want to work with, and the ones we can help get better results.
You know, I did just see a video this week from a farmer that was topping over 400 on his yield monitor that does look accurate, and he's approaching 300 bushels of field average. And that's an example of somebody that it took him a good 4 years, first of all, to get him on that planter applied nitrogen, and then gradually to increase those rates to where it made sense. And boy, he sure sounded happy in that video I was looking at this week.
Well, I'll bet he was happy. Well, Greg, we've talked about placement as well as the timing and form of both of the two applications in the MFS. What about the starting point before we split it between applications? Let's talk about the total nitrogen recommendation for a field. I know the biggest determinant is probably yield goal, and previous crop is also a definite factor. What else is assumed or considered in formulating the total N recommended for a field?
The thing to keep in mind is that our recommendations are always based on using the system as prescribed. So we are assuming there's going to be more microbial activity. We're assuming they're using Grozyme and they're using the Clean Start early on. So the factors that go into that are strictly the understanding that the system is going to work more efficiently by using split applications of nitrogen, which is going to make you be able to be more efficient with the total pounds applied.
So thinking again about the two applications in the system, once we do determine the total nitrogen recommendation for a field, we know that it's got to be split between the planter application of nitrate N and the side dress ammonia application. What determines how it's split? How much is applied in the band and how much with the side dress application?
So it's a total pounds of nitrogen that we need to look at across the season, but how we feed that plant on the total pounds of nitrate nitrogen versus the total pounds of ammonia form are really going to be dependent on the hybrid type. And that's where we talk about the hybrids 1, hybrid 2, and hybrid 3 classifications, that more of those determinant ears, the fixed ear hybrids, those workhorse hybrids are going to be more that type 1, where they're going to want 80 to 90% of that nitrogen early on. We're still looking at a split application there, but more of the nitrogen is needed up front, versus you get into some of those racier type hybrids, type 3s, that's where you want to have more of a split of maybe 40 to 50% of your nitrogen later on in the season, because those requirements are different, versus a type 2, which is more of a balanced approach. So that's where we look at getting the STMZ done properly, getting the proper recommendations coming back from dealer tools that work the STMZ information in with the crop plan that you input as a dealer, and then the hybrid types, which will help us determine the actual nitrogen program that we need.
How important is following the specific split of the nitrogen rec between the nitrate at planting and the side dress anhydrous recs? How challenging is it to get growers to really follow our guidelines on the split application? I guess I'm thinking about the planter nitrate recommendation being most at risk, since that's where I'd suspect it's most tempting for growers to cut back because of the potential logistical challenges of larger volumes of 28 or 32.
One of the big issues that we see, and probably the biggest issue that we see, and you just kind of talked about it, a struggle that we have is getting farmers to use a higher rate of the nitrate nitrogen. So if it's a type two and you're looking at more of a 50-50 type split, I'm saying that in general terms, your maximum farming recommendations will spell that out more appropriately on what the split should be. But if it's calling for 80 pounds on the planter, we do mean 80 pounds is your best bet to do. And that doesn't mean that, well, if we call for 80, maybe we can get by with doing 40 pounds because I want to keep going. I want to keep moving as a farmer and keep going. Well, we've already put ourselves at risk there. That's when the system starts to break down. And I've said it before from the stage at NDS and at dealer launch is that we've had a lot of people that blame the system for not working when they don't follow the system. And part of the system is the nitrogen very much. Even though we don't sell it, it is very much the nitrogen, using it the right way. And using it the right way means using the right form at the right rates.
Well, Greg, I think we've covered a lot of good ground today. Are there any other thoughts you'd like to share as we think about wrapping up?
We've focused a lot on nitrogen use efficiency and talking about that. And I think the key thing with that is what drives this whole system that we talk a lot about from the stage at forums and NDS and club conference and all of our meetings is that it is the number one factor is air and water management, which effectively means that it's biological activity in the soil. And if we have good air and water management, we've got oxygen moving through the soil and not too much water that's going to stagnate those soils, and we're going to have biological activity. That means the soil structure is right. We've got the minerals in the soil in the right balance that we talk about. So are we creating that environment which does go back to soil health? And that soil health means the ability to yield. The system is more than just the products that we sell. The products that we sell are how we make our money, but the products that we sell are only going to be used correctly if we've got the proper soil tests, and that means the proper recommendations, and then it comes to implementation using those products.
Well, I really appreciate all the good information and experience that you've shared with us today, Greg. Thanks again for being generous with your time.
I just appreciate the opportunity to do this. This is a new experience for me being on this end, Pat.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and hopefully it wasn't any more painful than necessary. Thanks again, Greg.
All right. Thanks, Pat.